Thank you. God bless you. Please be seated. As I sat in the course of the service, I made a prayer to God that I will not leave you the way I met you. I made a vow that I will not leave you the way I've met you. That's what the Lord will do. Lord, we thank you. This is our Ebenezer. We didn't start where we are. We came to this point. And the grace that escorted us one step after another to this point, that river of grace is still flowing. And I pray that we will be baptized in this river. Amen. So we can move on. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I read verse 5. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn! Turn you and take your journey, go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Amen. Go in and possess the land. Amen. Which the Lord swear unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." Before God does anything for anybody, he first of all gives it to that person in form of promise. What he does with the promise will determine whether or not he will get it. For the promised land was given to the children of Israel, but not all of them who left Egypt entered. They were given a promise they did not receive. Not by the fault of the giver, but by the attitude of the receiver. And there are many things God will not do for somebody who is casual. For we receive from the Almighty God by our levels of faith and commitment. If we are asked to go to a river or to the ocean and fetch, there are those who will go with a drum. There are those who will go with a cup. There are those who will go with a spoon. In fact, teaspoon. And what you return home with will be dependent on your own sense and your own belief of what you want. You are serving a limitless God whose supply knows no end. But your capacity to receive is limited. And you are the one that imposed the limitation, not God. For with God, all things are possible. And the Bible also says that unto him that believeth, all things are possible. And different circumstances in life bring you to a point where you surrender to an argument. You surrender to a struggle. Different things happen in our lives and brings us to lose hope in our God. And we no longer trust or believe him. And this is strange. The reason why I said that is because, as I said in my prayer, none of you started where you are now. You came there. Nobody is who he is now that did not come there. Have you ever asked, how did I get here? Did you remember the role God played to bring you to where you are? How could you so easily take off your mind the role that God had played to bring you to where you are? And how is it that you so easily throw off your future? Don't you know that the grace that brought you to where you are is not your end. You are in a process. Where you are is not your end. You are on motion. Where you are is not your end. You are going somewhere. The grace that brought you from your father's house and brought you to where you are. The grace that took you across the Atlantic Ocean. The grace that took you through the exams and through all the temptations and the trials of your life and brought you to where you are. That grace is still there. The absence of the correct mentality, I need to place your finger on this. It was because Israel had not developed the next level mentality before they left Egypt. That was the reason why when they came to the Red Sea, some of them said, it would have been better we did not leave Egypt. It's because they left Egypt without developing the next level mentality. When God plans to do a whole lot of things in your life, you are the one to develop mentality. God does not develop mentality for people. He gives you promise. Your responsibility is to develop the appropriate mentality. If I promise you a good car in America and I give it to you, excuse me, you are to go and learn how to drive.
That's right.
I will not drive it for you. The grace of God does not abrogate human responsibility. If you do not have the appropriate mentality, that's up to you. When God told Israel, I'm giving you the promised land, go in and possess it. Then they got somewhere and sat down and packed. And somebody needed to tell them that God didn't promise you Red Sea. He promised you Canaan. If you find yourself by the Red Sea, remind yourself what the promise said. The sentence and verdict that brought you out of Egypt didn't promise you Red Sea. If Red Sea was there, you had to have a mentality beyond Red Sea. Now, people were murmuring, this is Red Sea, and Moses said, this is dry land. Are you hearing me? Somebody said, this is the Red Sea. Moses said, this is dry land. We are seeing the same thing, but we are concluding differently. We are seeing the same thing, but we are drawing different conclusions. The absence of the appropriate mentality in the children of Israel, those who are under the leadership of Moses and those who are under the leadership of Joshua, you see the difference. Joshua said, "We are able to go up and take the country. We are able to prevail and overcome the giants. We are able to possess the land from Jordan to the sea. We are able. We are able. We are able. We are able." And as they were saying it, heaven was marking it correct. Say it again. Correct. Say it again. Correct. But a certain other people said, "We are not able." And God said, "Correct." They said, "We are like grasshoppers." And God said, "Correct." In what way does grasshopper resemble a person? When big as you are possessed with the mind of microcosm, you never become anything in life. A man is a product of his heart. You never outgrow your heart. Why is this matter so strong? It is so strong because the Lord God who gave the promise gave it on a serious note. On this side Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law. That is to say, for you to get out of where you are and move to the next level is a law. It's a command. We're not even asking for your advice. When, as we grew older in age and in ministry, this year I will be 40 years in ministry. My wife and I and all our children are gone, married. My wife and I said to ourselves, we thank God for many things. But how do we spend the rest of our lives? And my wife decided to go back to school and took a PhD on orphans in the University of Illinois and started an orphanage. Since the economy of our country began to suffer, we began to have different types of problems, e.g., abandoned babies. It's good in this country if you no longer like your child, there's adoption center to go and put and sign it off. In our country, it's not like that. Look for somewhere and abandon. After church on Sunday morning, I was seeing guests off from my office. I saw my secretary carrying a baby. And I know she wasn't married. So I said, "Nike, where do you find this one?" He said, "One of the ladies that are sitting and waiting to see you said I should please hold that. He's going to toilet." I said, "Okay, well done." So 1 hour passed. The woman has not come back from toilet. "Hey, still waiting. See toilet here. Why would you take 1 hour to return from toilet?" I said, "You are carrying an exhibit." Till today, we can't find the mother. Now, we have them. My wife has 39 abandoned babies that we're taking care of. That's not the reason I'm saying what I'm saying. Ask me what is the reason. If you don't ask me, I will not tell you. I will just move on to the next level. There's a child that was brought to our orphanage for 2 years. The child has remained the way it is from day one. It even now began to bring teeth out. When you are coming, you'll be looking like bat. I said to my wife, This one. What we need to do. I hope you won't lose the point. Are you still there? All right. You know, age does not ask whether you are moving to the next level. It keeps running the time over you. When we have guests and they're greeting the children in the orphanage, when we see guests coming, we carry this one. If you can carry him with one hand after 2 years, we'll carry this one and go and hide because of the embarrassment. When you don't move to the next level, you become embarrassment. You become an embarrassment to the investor. Now, this one eats like ant. But someone making sense out of it. When you don't move to the next level, the return upon investment, you embarrass the investor. When we have visitor, what we do is to carry this one and go and hide because we can't explain his case. God told Moses and said, "You have spent too much time in this place. I didn't promise you this place. It is not for the reason of this place I killed Egyptian firstborn. It's not because of this place that I turned water to blood. I have done so much to bring you out, but this is not the place I promise you." And there is no barrier on your way that is beyond what I promise you. I knew the Red Sea was there when I promised you. But I also knew what I will do when we get there. I knew the wall of Jericho was on the way when I promised you. But I also know what I will do when I get there. There is no barrier on your way that is not part of the syllabus. There is no barrier on your way that has not been atoned for and prepared for. There is no barrier on your way to the next level that has not been taken care of in the budget. There is no barrier on your way that is beyond God. Raise your hand and say, "Thank you, Jesus." He said, "You have stayed too long here." He said, "Get up and turn." And he asked him, he told him, he said, "Turn." He said, "Turn towards the mountains of the Amorites." Then the next time he said, "To the plains, to the valley, to the hill." You are taking everywhere. You are taking the hills. You are taking the valley. You are taking the plain. You are taking the lowland. You are taking the grassland. You are taking the forest. You are taking everywhere. If you look at the way he asked them to move, you'll be wondering. Because he listed them out. He said, "To the mountain and then the plains." So that it will not be said that your God is a God of mountains only. He's also the God of the plains. He said, "To the river, to the land of the Amorites, the Canaanites." He spread it all out. We're going to have people after this event that will be so versatile.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
They'll be skillful in high things.
Amen.
They'll be skillful in low things.
Amen.
They'll be skillful in diverse ways.
Amen.
There is nothing that will be beyond their intelligence.
Amen.
Because God is going to equip your intelligence.
Amen.
Say amen 3 times then.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh yes.
Amen.
Say, "Go to the mountain of the Amorites. Go to the plains." He said, "I have given you." Where your responsibility in developing the appropriate mentality in what he has given you is your attitude to the barriers and to the challenges. The first thing you are going to do is to ignore your limitation and hold on to the promise. Men look for the best men to do their best jobs. God looks for the worst men to do his best jobs. God told Samuel in the house of Jesse, he said, God does not look the way man looks. That man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the inward man. God wanted to promise a man that he will become the father of many nations. And he went to Abraham that was childless. Why didn't he go to a man that already had a dozen children? When God wants to promise a woman that should be the mother of many nations, God went and chose Sarah, somebody who is nearly 80 years old, to be the mother of many nations. That's the way God works. The worst signals you are receiving qualify you to be the best candidate for a miracle. When God was going to look for somebody that would teach the law in Israel, he should have gone to choose an orator. He chose a stammerer instead. What do you think God was doing? God is trying to show whoever is low that he can come up. God is showing those who are the rejected stones that they can become heads of the corner. That God does not look the way man looks. Saul was the tallest man in Israel. And for 40 days, Goliath was rolling like a rolling stone and back and forth. And everybody in Israel was running away. The day Saul was anointed, the Bible says he was shoulder high above everybody else. He was the tallest man. But here came a boy with only a sling in the hand. A boy that had no fighting experience. Of course, Saul told him that you don't have a fighting experience. That's the one God used. All of you who have fighting experience, you've been running away for 39 days. Let nobody surrender to those who look down on you and write you off. The first thing you need to do is to ignore your limitations. That's what Saul did when he looked at David and said, you are not able to face this man. That's the assessment. That's the report. That's the way he sees you. And why? And how? For 39 days, he has not been able to face him. So he also thinks that you cannot. So because he cannot, he thinks you cannot. You are not of the same species. Amen. You are not of the same breed. Amen. You are not the same. You are not from the same pedigree. You have your own background that is different. You are not him. He's not you. You know, David had three elder brothers in the army. And when they saw David, they said, what are you looking for here? Get back home. This is not a place for small boys. And why? And how? Because for 39 days, Goliath came and they had no answer. The idea they had is since they couldn't do it, that David could not do it. Would you like to know that you are not them? It's up to you to reckon who you are and decide that you are not them. Because he failed doesn't mean you fail. Because he didn't make it doesn't mean you will not make it. Because he couldn't get it does not mean you will not get it. You know why? You are not the same. David took a salute, said, sir, I'm able to face him. And I'm going to face him. You stand here and see. Comes down to mentality. Mentality is beyond experience. Mentality is what produces experience. Experience don't produce mentality. It is mentality that produces experience. He said, when I was on our father's farm, a lion came to that farm and took a lamb and was running away with it. The mentality of David was that You don't come here to carry a lamp. You understand? The antelopes are there for you. The deer, they are there for you. The elephants are there. The roe and all the wild beasts in the field, they are there for you. You don't come here to carry a lamp. But it comes down to mentality. I didn't come into the forest to struggle with you, with your own allocation. You understand? Now, this is my father's sheep. There is a law of the owner. There is a power of the owner. There is an anointing of the owner. There is a grace of the owner. You know why I'm here? For coming here to carry a lamb, you have already offended in two ways. You have downgraded me here. And I need to tell you that. You have written me off here. You are seeing me like this. And you went to carry a lamb. You think I am nothing. And I am the one to tell you you are wrong. Do you think I'm here doing nothing? I'm the one to tell you you are wrong. There is somebody behind me called God. Do you remember what David said in Psalm 23? He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. This lion doesn't know all of that. But I know it. You come here and carry a lamb. What do you think I'm doing here? If you will kill me in this encounter, I offer to be killed. Let it be written that I took responsibility. Let it be written that I challenge you over my portion. Let it be put down that I face you and said, "No, don't go." But God is behind the owner. He said he went after the lion and held him by the beard. Those of you who know a bit of wildlife will recognize that this lion was a male lion. And they are fierce, they are strong. He said, "I smote him and killed him." You don't kill a lion with a slap. But he dared to slap, and God empowered. When you don't slap, God has nothing to empower. When you don't slap, God has nothing to empower. This lion wanted to eat this lamb. I ate the lion that day. After that, a bear came to this farm. A bear who never knew how we run our farm here. A bear who never knew the history of this farm. I need to let you know that the first thing you will need to do is to reject the spirit of mediocrity. The first thing you need to do, because there will be nothing God will be able to do about that. The first thing you need to do is to rebrand. The first thing you need to do is to change look, change face, throw your shoulders up, give yourself a name. A lion came, we dealt with it. A bear came. A bear is a lesser cat. A bear is a more sluggish cat. A bear, when you put a bear and a lion standing together, a bear is an idiot.